Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as Lutheran Christians and Christians in general, we understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. But however, when I was growing up, I never heard the Holy Spirit mentioned in a Lutheran church. It was always Jesus. Well, there's a Trinity, and the Holy Spirit has his place too. If you notice, Sarah's helping me today. We both have red on. We have red pyramids on the altar. Yep, Peggy's got red. Pastor Don's got red. You know, the thing is, you have some red too. But the thing is that this is one of those subtle things, among other colors too. Marlene's got it too. You know, when you see, like, the colors up there, red is one of those things, you know that there's something important. Well, red in the church represents the Holy Spirit. And since today we are going to ask the Holy Spirit for help, then we dedicate our worship to him today by the pyramids. Okay. But before we look deeper into this role of the Holy Spirit, we need to look at the Holy Spirit's role in our own lives. Well, in Greek, the word for holy is hagia. Okay? Hagia. Spirit, now here's where it gets interesting, is pneuma. Pneumatic drill. Pneuma. All right, so what kind of a drill is a pneumatic drill? Air. Okay? So if we translate it directly, it's holy air. Holy air? So what kind of air is this? You know, we have three sacraments in the Lutheran Church. Well, wait a second. I thought we had two. Yeah, we have two. Luther said we actually have two and a half. Okay? Two and a half. Okay. What does this mean? There's our good Lutheran question. All right. We have baptism. We have Lord's Supper. And we have the office of keys and confession. That's the pastor job. You with me? But the office does not mean what we do as pastors. It means when we preach, we have the Word of God coming out of our mouths. So this is holy air. Okay. See what's going on? You know, there's many times, well, I think I've told you that story when I was in the seminary. And having been a college professor, it's not hard for me to talk. If you know me for a long time, you know it's not hard for me to talk. But Dr. Quill, great guy. I said, "Steve, do you believe in the Holy Spirit?" Well, I said, "Of course I do. That's why I'm here. If I didn't believe in that, I wouldn't be here." He said, "Good. Why don't you use the Holy Spirit or let the Holy Spirit help you in your sermons?" Don't hold back, Dr. Quill. How do you really feel? All right, well, so what did that mean? That means let the Holy Spirit guide you in your life. In that case, if I'm going to be preaching the Word of God, I let the Holy Spirit guide me in this. Okay, I don't try and turn this into a cerebral, you know, lecture type thing. I let the Holy Spirit, and that's where a lot of this came from. Okay, so why is it important to think of the Holy Spirit as the holy air? Well, let's look at the Trinity first. We have three parts of the Trinity, right? Father. What was the job of the Father? Creation. Is he constantly creating today? Well, actually, creation was done. He rested on the sixth day, didn't he? Or the seventh day? Okay. So part of the thing is creation is finished. Doesn't mean he doesn't work at it, but as a whole, it's finished. Now, Jesus. What is Jesus' job in the Trinity? Salvation. The word we use is redemption, to redeem. Okay, what does redeem mean? To pay ransom on the cross. So is he put to death on the cross every day? No. It's one thing that happened. So, don't get picky. Love you, brother. So, redemption is finished. All right, what's the role of the Holy Spirit? comforter, teacher, advocate. Actually, we're talking about the book of John right now, which is good. Say it again. In our lives. Okay, so what do we call all of this? Well, working to make us holy. Okay, if you remember from the Catechism, the Holy Spirit's role is sanctification, which in Latin is sanctus. What does sanctus mean? Holy. Okay? Because, let's face it, we're sinners. We need all the help we can get, right? I agree. Okay. Now, what does that mean, then, holiness? And it's one of those things, yeah, it's easy to say. Well, to understand this meaning, we're going to look at Luther's view of the relationship in his writings outside of the Catechism. If you've ever had a chance to see a library that has Luther's books in them, maybe 600-700 books, because somebody, he used to have these table talks too, somebody would write down all the discussions he had. So it's when you start reading Luther, there's a lot of stuff, and only half of it's been translated into English. So if you really want to understand our religion, you got to learn German, Ausgesichnet. Okay, so we're also going to look at where Luther got this idea from the book of Romans. All right. You know how important it is that I think understanding the definition of words for us. You know, because I define a lot of words in here. And today, we're going to define two words. First one is theology, and the second one is catechism. All right, theology. Well, theo is the Greek word for God. Ology is the Greek word for study. So theology is the study of God. That's what we're doing right now. Now, here's the one I find interesting. Catechism. You know, I use that word all the time. Before I say it, anybody want to take a stab at telling me what the catechism means? That's pretty close. Keep on going. Anybody else? All right. Cata. Where else do we find that word in English? Catalog. And what is a catalog? It's a collection of things to look at. Yes? So a catechism is a collection of things that are doctrine to look at. Now, in the ancient church, the person who studies catechism was called a catechum. And since Christianity was outlawed in the Roman Empire, you could be a catechum until the day of your death, and then take baptism. Because once you were baptized, automatic death sentence in the Roman Empire. Okay, that's why the church services were in the catechism, or in the catacombs of Rome. Okay, you know, our service is in two parts. The first one is the service of the Word, and then the second one is the service of communion, okay, the Eucharist. Why is it that way? Because when Paul was in Rome, he made it that way. Okay? Anybody that wanted to learn about Christianity came to the first part. What do we have in it? We sing hymns. We listen to Scripture. We have the sermon. Okay? We have the collection. Okay? I mean, these guys weren't stupid. Okay? And then we have the Mass of the Faithful, or the Mass of the Catacombs, as it was called. And that's Holy Communion. Why? Because if you were there during that, there's another death sentence. And it wasn't until 330 that was lifted. You know, it's one of those things, when you start looking at this, I think it's scary. The Edict of Milan that actually said it's all right to be a Christian was not until 315 A.D. So for 300 years. Now stop and think, how old is the United States? We're not 300 years yet, are we? So we're talking about a time period that's longer than the United States has been here. When you start looking at that time that way, that's a long time, isn't it? Okay, so we're looking at this. Well, what did Luther have to say about it? And remember, we don't worship Luther. He's a pastor. But boy, is he intelligent. I wish I had half of his. But did he make mistakes too? Yeah, if you ever read what he has to say about the Jews, you would say, is this the same guy? Okay. But he's a sinner just like the rest of us. And just like the rest of us, he has good and bad, and we have good and bad. Make sense? So, Luther writes, now this is a treatise from 1520. Okay, and remember that 1517 was the Reformation. You know, so we're only talking 3 years after that. The freedom of a Christian. The Holy Spirit works through the following. The community of saints or the Christian church, which is the same thing. The forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. What's he quoting? Apostles' Creed. Okay? This sanctification is essential, there's the word sanctification, in the life of a believer, because without this process, we cannot know God. Well, wait a second. You know, why can't I know God? We're going to talk about that. Without this process, we can't know God. Folks, I agree with that statement. Remember the third article of the Creed, which we just heard? Here's his explanation. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel. All right, I'm going to close my book and sit down. There it is. There is Christianity. So, without the gospel and the Holy Spirit, there is no Christianity and nobody can believe in Jesus Christ or God. Well, that's what Luther wrote in his explanation of the third article. Where did he get it? Okay. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12. Apostle Paul. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So was it original with Luther? No. It's Paul. By the way, did anybody watch Jeopardy this week? Did you see that question on Final Jeopardy? Yeah, Hebrews, but that's not it. Yeah. It said, what this person's, one of this person's books of the Bible has more quotations from the Old Testament than any other book. Well, the first person said Romans, and they were wrong. The second one said Hebrews, and they were right. Now, wait a second. Did Paul write Hebrews? No. We don't know. Okay. But Paul did write Romans. And boy, there's been a lot of talk on the theological websites and things about that, because the person who said Romans was right. The person that said Hebrews was wrong, even though Hebrews does have more quotes from both the Old and the New Testament. So you have somebody trying to deal in theology that doesn't know. I found that was interesting. Okay. So no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So even as the Father created us, and Jesus Christ, His Son, saved us, the Holy Spirit's main role is to call us into faith. What is faith? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. When does faith enter us? Baptism. Okay? Because baptism is that exorcism. It gets rid of the bad spirits. The good spirits come into us. Okay, and that's when faith enters us. Amen. Grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. You know, it's one of those things, it's not hard, but how many times do we actually think of it that way? All right, so God uses this by using the Word. That's the Holy Bible. That's the Scripture. And administrating the sacraments, especially through holy baptism. Baptism is where it starts, right? Okay? That's why baptism is so important. But is baptism only being immersed in water? No. According to the De Doce, and that's the book the apostles wrote in 60 AD, we knew that book had been written. We never saw a copy of that until the Dead Sea Scrolls, and there was a copy. And boy, talk about people really excited about that. It says you can be brought to faith through the Word of God or by fire, but if you do, then you need to have water baptism after that. Now, well, if you say you're a Christian and they burn you at the stake, I think you're baptized. I think I'd take the water too. But the thing is, a lot of those people, you know, were brought into that way. All right, now stop and think. We know in the book of Acts, especially the second chapter, what was it, 4,000 people were brought to faith on the first day of Pentecost, right? You have 11 apostles, not 12 yet, because Bartholomew or Barnabas hasn't been selected. Okay, so we have 11 people, 4,000. How long would it take to get somebody into a river to baptize them? A minute apiece, 2 minutes apiece? Where does that leave time to preach? It doesn't. Stop and think. 4,000 people times 2 minutes apiece is 8,000 minutes. Man, it just isn't going to work. So, those people were brought to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. You with me? Make sense? So, the Holy Spirit can baptize. But what did the apostles say? They think that somewhere along the line you should go through water baptism. And so when we talk about that, how much water is important? Well, what's more important, water or Word of God? Word of God. All right, so if that's more important, how much water do we need? I had that one lady I told you about before that said her baptism wasn't good because her elbow was out of the water. You know, it's just, I listen to stuff like that, and she's well-meaning, she's a good Christian. Some pastors told her that. It's just like when I had a lady one time hold up the King James Bible. This is the only Bible to use because it's the one that Jesus did. Okay. And I said, well, you realize, this was a couple years ago, that the 500th anniversary of that Bible is coming up. Let's see, 500 years from 2000. That's 1500. What did they use in the church before that? Wait a second. Don't confuse her with any facts. Yeah. But that's part of the thing is, when a pastor teaches unsound doctrine, it's not good, is it? Okay. And that's why there's a lot of time that we put into it. Now, if you were at Bible study this week, George and I disagree on some parts of theology. Is that okay? Sure it is. Why? George is a very studied person. Anyway, the people he reads and has listened to, you know, have a little different view from what I do. It's one of those things. Steve and Helen that were here last week, we were talking. They went to a Lutheran church one time in a Missouri Synod and wanted to take communion. And the pastor could have said, no, absolutely not. But he said, you're a Christian. What does that mean to you? Well, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins, and we are saved through this. He said, good, come to communion. They just witnessed as a Christian, didn't they? And the thing is it more important for theology or more important to have Christ? It is. What if Jesus and the apostles came through that door? Oh, wouldn't it though? You think they could come to communion? And, oh, I think so too. But when I was in Texas, I always went to the Missouri Synod Winkle. And we had one pastor who was the southbound end of a northbound horse. Oh, he wouldn't even commune with us. No. Oh, it's only for my congregation. We don't do it outside the congregation. And of course, Peggy and I have discussed this. And I said, well, if Jesus and the apostles came through your door, what would you do? Well, I'd have to sit down and talk with them. Eloy Gonzalez, the vice president of the Texas district, LCMS, went, what? See what I'm getting at? We just, huh? Boy, you did that day. Oh, he was mad. And he said to him, he says, we're not going to talk now, but he says, you and I are going to talk after our meeting today. Why? Because this pastor has made theology and doctrine more important than Jesus Christ. The law. The law. Okay. Well, faith, of course, is an undeserved gift of grace. It is through the grace of God that we're saved, right? Grace through faith. All right, so the two work together. So when we're called to faith, is it because of what we do, our own works? Well, of course not. Okay? Nor was it because we were better than others. It's freely given to all. Even if you have halitosis and your feet stink. So, everyone is called to faith because of the power of the Holy Spirit. He has brought that gift to us. So, the same Holy Spirit is who gives us faith, also preserves it. All right, when we were talking about what the Holy Spirit is, George, what did you say? What was the word you used? Restrainer. Okay. Is Satan out there all the time? Sure he is. And what is the Holy Spirit trying to do? Keep him, get thee behind me, Satan. And if you've ever read John, that's what I got such a kick this morning. John treats the end times as a court case. Jesus is the judge. Who's the defense attorney? Holy Spirit. Okay. In fact, he makes it a court and uses court language in the Bible. So when we look at that, it's very important that the Holy Spirit is the person who is with us all the time. So our baptism is the beginning of the workings of this entire process. So what does the Holy Spirit do to preserve our lives? He sanctifies us. All right, so that means he does everything he can to make and keep us holy. Yeah, we're sinners, so we're going to fall off the wagon every day, many times. But he does this exclusively through word and sacrament. Is there anybody who doesn't understand that? I think probably all of you do. Okay, so whenever we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit, who is working in us to help us grow in our faith and obedience to Jesus. All right, obedience to Jesus. Remember in the Catechism, every explanation to the Ten Commandments. We should what? Fear and love God. Fear. Why are we supposed to be afraid of God? We're not. Ancient meaning of the word is to respect. So we change it. You should respect and love God. And it's the same thing we do here. The Holy Spirit enables us and empowers us to do good works. Even James, a dead faith is not a true faith. A faith without works is a dead faith. But are you saved through works? No. Are we supposed to do good works? Yes. So, in short, we are supposed to do good works. Well, one of those works is to come to the Lord's table. Pastor Don and I have talked about this a lot. What does this do? It forgives sins. Why? See, that's a good question, isn't it? This mostly is to give thanks and to have our sins forgiven. So we did confession and absolution today, right? What is this? Confession and absolution. So we actually do it twice during the church service. Many of you ever, I mean, I could look at you, those of you who are Lutheran, probably never thought about it that way either. Okay? Pastor Don and I have talked a lot about the power of the Lord's table. Because it is. With angels and archangels and all the host of heaven. So what we see when we come up here, yeah, the bread and wine. What's there? Jesus, all of our families, all the host of heaven. We come together at the same time to bless His holy name. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. You know, I wish we could see that, but there will be a day when we can do that. So, whenever we serve God, okay, we express our worship to God, pray to God, or do anything in response to our faith. It comes through service. All right. So, it is the Holy Spirit which enables us and empowers us to do those good works. Now, here's what Luther says. Remember, I told you we're going to talk about him. I've said this before. Luther says, unless we are a conduit for forgiveness of sins and anything that comes from the Holy Spirit to flow through us, if we stop it, we are not forgiven. Why? Because we stop the Holy Spirit. Is that our job? No. You know, and as we've talked, you know, you have somebody that's wronged you, you can forget them, or forgive them, but you're not going to forget. Trust is something that has to be re-earned in that. But the thing is, when we look at this, forgiveness is freely given. I had one time a Baptist pastor told me, all you Lutherans have cheap grace. Cheap grace. Why? Because you don't have to do anything for it. Where do we get that? Right out of the Bible. In fact, if you notice, I always put the Bible verses where the thing in our service comes from. Okay, that's really what we do, is we're reciting the Bible every time we come to worship. Why? Because it's important. All right, so today, when we come up here, some of you will ask to pray for yourselves. You know, and I'd say, will you pray for me? This has been heavy on my mind, or my health is not good. This kind of thing. Okay. Now, what if you come up and ask to pray for someone else? Is that okay? Well, sure it is. Well, they're not standing here. How is the Holy Spirit going to help them? Who are we to limit the Holy Spirit? I cannot by my own reason or faith. You see, that's the thing, is we try and put human attributes on God. Can we do that? No, it's impossible. All right, so when I first wrote this, I had another 5 pages worth of stuff, and I thought, no, that could be another sermon. Because there's a lot more I could talk about in this process. But remember, when we come today to receive the blessing from either me or Pastor Sarah, it means that we're going to be a means of His peace. St. Francis of Assisi. Right? Make me a means of thy peace. Let that peace flow through me onto someone else. A means of my peace. Something that we can share with. And the forgiveness of sins that we receive both at the table and by asking the Holy Spirit for help. This is most certainly true. And the people of God respond with, amen. To God be the glory. Amen.